From Shaw and Partners, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Very good morning, Mike.
Just a call on the global dairy. It's apparently what's been extended. There's something wrong or something happening here that we don't have the numbers?
No numbers. Technical reasons. The auction has been extended, so nothing to report there at the moment.
Okay, we'll stand by. Now, building consents, this is fascinating. So unsold apartments, especially in a place like Auckland, yet they want to build more apartments. What's going on there?
They sure do. Yesterday morning we spoke about the housing market and I contrasted our market with the current Aussie situation. Well, very nicely or very kindly, the Stats New Zealand released latest data on building consents yesterday for December. So just at the headline level, let's just get the facts out of the road first. 36,619 new homes consented in New Zealand in the 12 months to the end of December. So that's 2025 wrapped up. A significant increase on the 12 months to the end of 2024, a 9% increase. I'd say that's almost double digit, isn't it, we could say. Now, we mentioned this a couple of times towards the end of last year, Mike, that the big engine of the economy is waking up. Auckland is starting to feature in the growth numbers. So big city leading the way, accounting for a large share of the new homes consented. Consents to the Auckland region were up 12%, equaling the region which had been the poster child for growth recently. Our friends down in Canterbury, they're also 12%. But some surprisingly good numbers for Wellington, Mike. I assume they're coming off a low base because consents there up 18%. There does appear to be, when you look at the whole year, 2025, there does appear to be a case of sort of building momentum. The second half of the year is stronger than the first. Now, what you're talking about, the growth that we're seeing in building consents is coming from renewed confidence in multi-unit homes. Now, these consents are growing faster than consents for standalone homes, although the actual number of consents of the year showed that standalone homes were still slightly in front of multi-unit consents. But Mike, I'm guessing here, but I think there's a greater element of speculation in the multi-unit homes, isn't there? So, I mean, when you do a standalone home, you've either already got a buyer, you know, it's you're building yourself a new house on your country estate, or you know, it's you've got to sell one home. Whereas when you do multi-units, you've got five or six or eight. So it requires, one, I think there's more speculation involved. Two, you need much more confidence that the market is going your way. So maybe it's reflecting that. Mm. The actual number of consents did fall from November to December, but the trend is still very positive. Now we have to wait to see if that momentum keeps going into 2026. One last thing, Mike, non-residential work, though, that's still telling a different story. That's still falling. It's down 4.6%.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Now, Michelle came to the party. If party's the right word?
Yeah, well, we gave you the very frothy numbers for the housing market yesterday in places like Brisbane, Perth, Adelaide. Well, yesterday the Reserve Bank of Australia dropped the hammer on the broadening inflation problem by raising or hiking the RBA cash rate from 3.6 to 3.85. By way of reference, I'll remind you that our rate is at 2.25. It was a unanimous decision, no dissents. Inflation is the problem. It has picked up materially in the second half of last year. It's likely to stay above their target for a while. In the press conference after the announcement, Governor Bullock declined to give forward guidance. She said what happens next will be driven by the data. I'd have to say that the whole tone of the announcement in the press conference was maybe a little more hawkish than being expected. They said capacity pressures are greater than previously assessed. Labour market conditions are a little tighter. Private demand is growing more quickly than expected. Look, there's a little bit of divided opinion as to whether they'll need to do more hikes, but the market over there is pricing another hike by the middle of the year. Their own forecasts actually assume more hikes as well. Look, on a positive note, they did raise their growth forecasts. Just in terms of reaction, it was probably expected. Australian government bond yields went up a little bit. The Aussie dollar went back up over 70 cents against the US, but it was already there last week, and it nudged the New Zealand dollar a little bit higher as well. Yeah, but they're diverging a little bit from the rest of the world at the moment.
That is the truth. By the way, the dairy auction's now finished. They're just crunching some numbers, so hopefully we'll give that to you before 9 o'clock this morning. What are your numbers?
The Dow Jones is down 160 points, 49,246. That's about a third of a percent. The S&P 500 down 0.75%, 6,926. And the old NASDAQ Tech Index is getting hit a little bit over now. It's down 1.5%, 23,230. Yesterday, the FTSE 100 dropped 0.3%, 10,309. But an absolutely storming day in parts of Asia yesterday. The Nikkei was up 2,065 points, just under 4%, 5.4720 the close there. Shanghai Composite just up over 1%, 4.067. The Aussie gained 0.89% yesterday, 8.857 the close there on the ASX 200. And we gained a massive 9 points on the NZX 50. Always a subdued performance, 13,421. Kiwi dollar, 0.6048. Against the US, 0.8618 Aussie, 0.5117 Euro. We're over 44p against the pound, 0.4415. The Japanese yen, 94.19. Gold, $4,953. And Brent crude, $66.78.
Go well, mate. Andrew Kelleher, Shaw and Partners.